the dwelling. That's the kavod, the glory. And we saw his glory as an only begotten son. To ponder that, to see the continuity of God's plan. It's not just a question of comparing words. Dwelling, Jesus is dwelling. No. It's a question of seeing realities, historical realities, and how all that God did with the Jewish people is meant to prepare for his beloved son, Jesus, Israel. Israel densified. Jesus. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my servant. Behold my servant. To see this continuity in the world of history, not just in the world of words, that is the great delight. And that's what is meant in the tradition by the spiritual sense of Scripture. To see. When you see David weeping over Absalom, what do you see? David weeping over his treacherous son. Would to God that I might die for you, Absalom, my son Absalom. Who is that? That's Jesus Christ. Embodied, foretold, prefigured, realized. The reality and the compassion of Christ is in David. As an anticipated participation in Jesus Christ himself, who weeps over every rebellious son and says, not would to God that I might die, but I have died for you. The death of Jesus on the cross is pure white light. So powerful, that act of love in which he died and in which he's fixed forever is so pure, white, and strong that we can't gaze at it. Not until we get glimpses and we're changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God, as Paul tells us. But that white light is prismed through the Old Testament. Red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, and violet. If you look carefully, nearly every word in the New Testament which describes the ineffable, overwhelming work of Jesus Christ comes from the Old Testament. Redemption, salvation, acquiring a people. These are all Old Testament words. In other words, that pure white light is broken down for us so that we can look and say, oh, that's what it means. And so you see, the Lord ends by saying, remember, the scribe learned in the kingdom of God, the scribe learned, like Paul, learned in the scriptures. What scriptures? The Old Testament. He had to write the new one. There are delights there. Oh, Origen, who was one of the greatest, and the genius who solved the problem of what to do about the Old Testament. Was this great genius. The first time in the book of Exodus that the word Joshua comes, Yehoshua, which is Jesus. Huh? That's the name Jesus. And he says, oh, look. Look at the name. Look at the name. This is the one who brings us into the promised land. Look at the name. He sees in Joshua's actions, you see, a share, a participation in the conquest of evil to be worked by Jesus Christ and to bring us into a promised land where we can be at ease and protected from our enemies. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. Who? Where? In Jesus. You see how much is there? How much is there? It's not a word game. Yehoshua, Jesus, it's that name already, which means Adonai saves, is what his name means. So in whom is this reality most beautifully fulfilled? Jesus. There, Adonai saves. Jesus is the temple. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is... How many words do we have for him to try to describe the ineffable beauty of Jesus Christ. And that's why the Old Testament is our Bible. And as I say, there's one religion, the preparatory and the fulfilled. But it's one. It's the same God. And if your eyes are open, oh, there he is, weeping over his son, telling God, blot me out if you're going to blot out the people. I'm in solidarity with them. You see him. You see him in the sufferings of Jeremiah. You see him. How precious.